Feels like it was 2 weeks ago we did this. Don't mind the cough drop, because I have a lot of phlegm. Okay, we're basically, Lord, you just be the words out of my mouth. Cross out the notes that I'm not supposed to do. Highlight the ones that you want. Highlight it. And we just thank you for your spirit and the gift of prophecy. All right. So basically, we want to teach in-house how to give someone a word, because we want you to be able to go out in the streets, in the workplaces, in the stores, but we need a safe place. So I'm going to mix up my notes a little bit and not do it word for word from last time to make it a little more interesting. So I have the purpose of prophetic ministry, and it's looking for, and the Lord showed me this, and he showed me a treasure box. So as an example, I have two treasure boxes on the stage there, and what that symbolizes is everyone is a treasure from God, and we want to draw the treasure out of people. Like, you ever see those shows where they go deep diving and they bring up the treasure box, and when you bring it out, it's all cookie and seaweed? So that's not what we're looking at. We're not looking at the people's outsides. We're looking on the treasure that's on the inside. Okay, so I'm going to start with Jeremiah 29:11. You can turn there if you want, or just follow along. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, God made this statement to his people while they were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years because they disobeyed him. But in spite of that, he still sent Jeremiah to give them an encouraging word. God often uses prophetic ministry the same way today. He's addressing the people's potential and not their present condition. So we're not called to call out the people's sin. We're not judging them. Prophecy is to mine the treasure that is inside of everyone, because everyone was created in the image of God. The person no longer sees themselves, when you give them a word, the purpose is so they no longer see themselves enslaved to their present identity or circumstance, but instead they are introduced to heaven's perspective that is over them. New Testament prophetic ministry speaks to the high value and divine potential that God has given everyone. The true purpose of prophetic ministry must be rooted in love, immersed in hope, and motivated by faith. It's all about love and not about who we are. It's because the price that Jesus paid on the cross determined the value of everyone. Because John 3:16 says he died for everyone. Prophecy confronts false mindsets and thought patterns with new options. It'll awaken new realities into the lives of people, often initiating the process of rethinking of how they live, love, and behave. It's an awakening to the lies that people believe about themselves. We get stuck. I know sometimes I get stuck. Prophecy reconciles people to God, and that's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm not going to look it up, but it talks about being reconciled to God. So the purpose of, we're going to do a little activity in here today, but the real purpose is to go out there and draw people back to God. So who can prophesy? Everyone can prophesy, all. 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you all can prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:3, it has, "But when someone prophesies, he speaks." This is like the main definition. "When someone prophesies, he speaks to encourage people, build them up, and to bring them comfort." NIV has a different way. It's to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. So what is prophecy? We're simple. It's hearing from God and speaking what you hear in order to build someone up, to comfort them, and to encourage them. Nothing more, nothing less. The word prophecy actually is to hear and speak to men. So we're training to receive, and we're going to interpret revelation that God gives us in order to encourage, build up, and comfort individuals. So we're going to have a little training later. And there's different prophetic gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:8. But prophecy uses the following gifts that are kind of wrapped into it. We call them the revelation gifts. They're words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And discerning of spirits can be a gift on its own, but sometimes it wraps into it. So any revelation that are received from God and communicated to another person will be considered prophecy in what we're training. So if we break it down a little bit, a word of knowledge is a specific fact about a person, a place, or event that was not obtained through natural means. Like it could be someone's name, their occupation, their birthplace, details about someone's life that you had no knowledge beforehand. A word of wisdom, it's a divine revelation of the will, plan, or purposes of God for a specific situation, provides divine insight on what we are supposed to do. Then there is discerning of spirits. It's the ability to recognize and distinguish between different types of spirits and anointings, angels, demons, the human spirit, the Holy Spirit. You can identify spiritual gifts in a person, their callings, their functions, like a word of knowledge and healing. Like one time I had a toothache when I came to church and I was like, oh, I got a toothache. And then Jeff said, I have a toothache too. So I was like, oh, it's not my tooth. So then we prayed over Jeff and his toothache went away. So that's a discerning of a spirit uses that. And if someone, an anointings, when we talk about anointings, sometimes we have fancy words and some people, especially if we're going outside, don't know our language. But Christianese. But if someone asks you what is an anointing, it's basically a manifested, a person that flows in an area. So they, we say they have an anointing, but another word could be grace. Favor, the world knows the favor. So it's basically when you give a word, it's comprised of three components. The first is revelation, that's how you receive it. The interpretation and the application. So the revelations is the first part. It's the information that we receive from God. It's the what did you see, what did you hear, or what did you receive part. Then the interpretation. Sometimes I have to wait a while for this one myself. It's the understanding that God gives about that revelation. Basically, what is God saying or what does it mean? Yeah, that one. Sometimes we have to sit and wait. Application. This is the understanding and how to implement the word. It's the what do we do with the information. Often it's not our job. So application, it's usually up to the person that gets the word. So we don't want to control their life, but leave it up to them. All right, we're going to more focus on how God speaks. God speaks or communicates is in some unusual ways. He spoke several times today, which is kind of cool. It's one of the primary reasons many people do not recognize why he's speaking to them because he communicates in weird ways sometimes. So sometimes you think, oh, did I have too much pizza or something? But in Job 33:14-15, it says, for God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon them while slumbering in their bed. So it could be dreams at nighttime. And dreams, visions could be, it's, I'm talking about like an internal in your head, like you see an object or like a little movie or something, but that would be an inner vision. You're awake. Psalms 78:2, this is one of the biggest ways that God speaks. It's called dark sayings. It says, I will open my mouth in a parable and I will utter dark sayings and impressions. So basically it's a riddle or a puzzle and we kind of have to put it together. Like Jeannie today, she saw the way the kids going to school. I kind of had one when Craig was speaking, so I thought, oh, it'd be good to wait till now to show it, just to share it. And he speaks to us all different. Mine was, I saw a hunk of cheese in a cheese grater. So I'm like, okay. So So now I had to sit, what's the application? What is the revelation of that for? And then the interpretation, and God showed me, like, when you have a salad, you take the cheese and you grate it so it's spread over the salad. You don't take the hunk of cheese and throw it on top of the salad. So God wants to spread us out into the kingdom, but it doesn't always feel good, you know, because when you, if the cheese could feel, which it doesn't, but if it could, I'm sure it wouldn't feel good to be grated into little pieces. So even coming up here today, this isn't easy for me. So God stretches us. So he's going to stretch us to go out and give words, but this is a safe place to do it. So it says God's voice is seldom a voice. I think I heard God one time. I fell asleep driving and he said, Steve, and I woke up, never heard him again. But I get impressions in this still small voice. So I'm not talking about like you got to wait to hear this booming voice coming out of heaven. You might be waiting a long time. But he is a communicator and he is always speaking. We have to recognize how he's speaking so we can recognize when he is speaking to others. And the church is here to help you, equip you, and get you to function prophetically, which is hearing from God and speaking the words to them. Different ways God speaks. There's the lower level, and that's the entry level. It's an impression that I just kind of went over. Then we have the impressions in our bodies for healing. Like I had the toothache. Other people might have a stiff neck, or like sometimes you see that on TV or ministers saying someone has a problem in their leg. Well, it's probably because they're feeling the pain themselves, and it's for somebody else. Three emotions. Some people can feel other people's pain, like emotions. So you might suddenly feel sad, and you're like, why am I sad? There's no reason to be sad. And then pray about it. God might be showing you somebody that's sad. Then he'll give you a word for that person. There's the gentle internal visions that we discussed. Then there's higher levels of revelation. There's open visions, angelic visitations, visitations of the Lord, vivid dreams, trances, and being caught up in the spirit. Oh, we aren't going over none of them. I just want you to be aware that they're there. And we're not discussing the office of a prophet. That's different. They can kind of tell you when you're sinning, but this is more for everybody. So don't get caught up in the information. It's not the information. It's the presence of God. Because Revelations 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So it's not about the information. It's just drawing someone into the presence of God. Okay. Let's break it down a little more into administering prophecy. Understanding your level of authority determines how we approach someone. So if you have a friend, approach them like a friend. Don't come down like a minister to them. And always be in an attitude of humility. I heard Bob Jones, who many know, some don't know, he was a prophet. And he was, in today's standard, we're like, he was a prophet. But when he would give a word, he'd actually bow his head down, kind of like to say, it's not me, this is God. And he humbled himself. So always be in an attitude of humility. Your level of revelation is received by impression. So how you receive it is how you give it. So if I get like a small impression, I'm not going to go up to somebody and says, thus says God, because now you're putting too much clout on it. So I would say, I think God's saying this, or I feel like God's saying this, so it doesn't put too much pressure on that other person. So when you say you feel like, you're not going to control them, but they're like, it just goes better. It's not a control thing. Once in a while, there's that God thing, though. And do it to your level of understanding. Simply report what you feel or see from the Lord. Don't attempt to give more detail than what you were given. Don't go beyond your understanding. Don't add. Yeah, don't. You heard that. Yes, that happens too. Like one of the gifts of prophecy, and it's not quite the word, but it's a spontaneous word. when you're just sitting during worship and you bring out a word, that's a word of prophecy. But when I do it, it starts, and I have to do this to get it out of my mouth. The first couple words is flesh, then God takes over, and then when I hear the flesh kick in, I know I'm done. So kind of like that. So we can do that as we give a word to somebody. You'll know that when you start stumbling, okay, this, I'm going too far. Your level of faith, do it according to your faith, Romans 12:6. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace that was given to us, and Craig was kind of saying that today, so let's each exercise them accordingly. So while God uses us in different ways, we should generally be comfortable with how God's using us. So that's basically the grace that he gave you, not considering the times that he will stretch us. We will always remember and not forget that we are speaking to his children, and always be motivated by God's love, because we want to impart hope. So basically, a quick review, the three things and purposes of prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. So in a house setting, we kind of have, I don't like rules, but we have ways to help the Holy Spirit flow here, but we want to learn. So I like to say we are free here, but we're not a free for all. So we want you to be able to prophesy, but keep it within the house. Every house has a little different rules, so this is how we're going to go. If you think you have a word, especially during worship, there'll be a couple different ways, and we're not going to keep God in the box. So this is like generally. You can give me a tap, give me a word. You can use Karen, but we're trying not to use Karen when she's speaking because then it gets disruptive. This has nothing to do with the prophetic utterance. I don't want you coming up and say, I got a word, and then you give the word. This is if you think you have a prophecy. Or another one I like, raise your hand. When Karen's up here, or the worship leaders, we have to trust them for the flow of the Holy Spirit. So if you raise your hand and they don't pick you, don't feel offended. It's just not the time. Now, I'm not saying that this is not for you to do a prophetic utterance, because we don't want to stop God. But if someone gives out a prophetic utterance, they know they speak that this is God, and it's up to us as a church to judge it. And if it's not of God, just spit it out. And be free to make a mistake. And that's why we're going to have a practice today. Let's see. And we can prophesy. We all can prophesy, but we don't all want to prophesy in the same service. It'd be kind of confusing. And then it even says prophesy one by one. How many is it? You know, kind of go with the Holy Ghost. But it is not a time to teach or have a testimony. There is times for that. So the words are about everything I heard today, so you know, I believe it was of God. Everybody that gave a word today was of God, and I don't feel any flesh. So, and if it was, it doesn't mean we're going to yell at somebody. We're just going to encourage them. So this is a safe place to learn. We're going to practice, but you have to be open to be corrected in love, so that we don't go out there and make mistakes out there. We want to make them all in here. So we're going to deal with the impressions, how God uses riddles. So I have some things in a treasure box. I'm going to look for some volunteers and pick an item, and then you're going to hold that item and ask God, who does he bring to mind about this item, and you can speak a word. So like if I would have picked out the cheese grater, that I would have been able to give somebody a word that God's going to use you to spread the word or something like that. Has anybody never given somebody a prophetic word and they want to try something here first? Everybody's given somebody a prophetic word before? I never have. All right, good one. Why don't you come up here, Brad, and we'll give you an item. Get up here and tell me no. There's always a rough one in the crowd. It's because we love each other. All right. Don't look. Put your hand in there and pick something out. All right.
You make my own wine.
This is not business card time.
Oh,
sorry. All right. So just say, well, right now, I'm not going to activate something you don't have. We're just going to activate what's already in you. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you to activate the gift that's already inside of everyone. I feel the Holy Spirit right there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Activate the gift that's in everyone. Bring it up. Bring it out. Make this easy for the person.
I said, it's for Karen. I said, the cork's about to pop and something good's going to come out.
That's good. That was very good, Brad. See, now you gave somebody a prophetic word. No, that was. It was. It was a word of encouragement and hope, and it built her up, right? Yes. Right. And the idea of this is somebody might see this in their head, and you're like, why am I saying a corkscrew? You know, I thought of something different, like the new wine's coming. But that's what Brad got. All right, have another volunteer? Or I'll pick you out. All right. Jim's a good one. No, look, Ian. Go ahead. he knew. He's prophetic. All right, so we're going to... And let's see who Jim sees for this. The tape measure.
You're not supposed to. But I believe it is for the church. It's you know, you're talking about don't put God in a box, and here we have time in a box, a length of time in a box. But I think what the church is doing, that we say time is going so fast. I don't know where I'm going with this. Time is going so fast that out of the box, the Lord is spewing time out for everyone to get into the prophecy and to get into closer to Him. And we feel it. We feel like it's not coming fast enough for us. But as the Lord gets us out of the box, He gives us more time, more length, and we won't be so confined.
That's very good. Yes, we receive that.
Wait, let me bring the mic up.
Before Jim even said anything, I said to Rita, I said, it's about time and how much time we have left.
And that's good. That's a confirmation. And because when you look at a tape measure, I think of measuring. And it's interesting that they both picked up time. That's good. So now since I'm here, Matt, you get to pick next.
But I didn't volunteer.
I'm picking. It's a whisker. Not a beater. You think you got a word for somebody? Sit on it a little bit. Now, to get to your prophetic language, when you first look at that, what do you think? You want to grab the first thing you think of? Being whisked away. It's corporate or a person? Yeah, you wanted.
The word I'm getting is for Scott, and he's going to be whisked away to something better.
And I don't know how to explain this, but I guess it's discernment. So when he said that to Scott, I could feel that. Like, I felt it. Like, yes, he felt it too. So, Scott, why don't we just pray for Scott right now? Father, we just pray for Scott, and we just thank you. You're going to whisk him into something different, something new, something better. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's see how many more things we got. We got 4 more things. All right. Haven't gotten somebody on the other side of the room. I know, they're like, everybody shrunk all of a sudden. Deja, would you like to try it? Good. Now, the first thing that comes to your mind, and then start looking around the room at different people. And God might highlight somebody that what you just thought.
The first thought that I had was that God's going to start spicing things up. But it's not for anyone specific. He's going to change things.
Good. And it has the word honey on there, so it's going to be sweet as honey. Yes. That was good, Deja. Thank you for volunteering for that. Well, saying yes. Want to try one, Meg? Got a spoon.
My initial impression when I first got it was that God gives each of us a measure. So I'm going to go with that, that God gives each of us a measure, a certain amount for each of us.
Okay, that's good. All right. Alan, do you want to try one? Yep, that means yes. You got a seashell.
Out by the seashore, but
what you think of when you see a seashell?
It's the rain, this calmness, this place that we all like to visit, and most of us like to visit, just relax and be one with the Lord. Inner peace.
Well, look over the congregation, and is there anybody sitting here that you think that God's highlighting that word to? I think everyone. You want to repeat it again, the word? That word for word. What do you feel like at the beach?
I feel the beach, and when I feel the beach, I feel relaxation. I feel content. one with nature, one with the Lord. I mean, can you imagine taking a stone and crunching it up into all those little tiny fine pieces of sand that's on the beach? Well, that happened. And it's for miles and miles and miles and thousands of miles. And we get to enjoy it. We get to walk into the water. We get to walk onto the beach. We get to enjoy it. So that's what brings a lot of us satisfaction.
That's good. So if you're like out in the marketplace and God gave you that, you could say something like that and say, is it amazing how much God loves you that he did all that for you? Something like that. I have one more thing. Does somebody want to volunteer? Yes. Yes, I got one for Eric. Yeah, I'll come up here. You can look because there's only one thing left. Eric got a light bulb.
The Lord has called us to be the light unto the world, to scatter the darkness that may be in the world, but not for long. Yeah, that's about it.
Very good. Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
That's it. So basically, these items are to get you to exercise your impressions that you get in your head. Like, I get a lot of them. We all do. Yes. Yes, thank you. So, yeah, basically, it's just when you get these images in your head, don't say they're not God, or I'm just thinking silly. Just say, hey, what is that, God? And if you don't say anything to anybody, you don't blow it. You just, it takes time. But we want to practice in here. So in here, you know, we're free to prophesy with each other because we know each other here. But if somebody comes from the outside, don't let someone prophesy over you because they can do you damage. But if they really think they're from the Lord, have it from the Lord, call a leadership or someone you know that knows to come with you so you can be in a safe place to receive a word. That's it.
Okay. Praise the Lord. That was fun. It's almost like you want more, you know? Yes, certainly. We all want to go to the beach. What? What time's the bus leave? Okay. Wow. Okay, how do we end this? Does anybody have another word from the Lord? You do? The beater?
Yeah. I got for Scott that don't beat yourself up. Go with the flow of the word. Okay.
Good. That's good. Yeah, we do beat ourselves up sometimes, don't we? Yeah. Okay, anything else? You got another one? All right, and then I'll call Meg.
Yeah, I got real fast for Eric, that let your light shine, you said, and when we're not plugged in, we don't let our light shine.
Stay plugged in. Okay, Meg?
After I was kind of sitting on what I felt like the Lord was saying with the spoon that I got, that we each get a measure, but if we're obedient, that he'll give us more. So whether that's gifting, faith, whatever that is, but we just have to steward it the way he wants us to.
Actually, he was talking to me about stewarding. That's a real good subject. Be good stewards of what he gives you, right? Anything else? How about you, Carla? You're sitting there real quiet. For someone not here? Oh, okay. Annette, you have anything? You're enjoying it? Well, you're prophetic people. I don't want to say anything. Craig spoke to you? Yeah. Next phase in your life.
Craig said that we were going to be given what our assignment was.
God's been telling me he's going to give me a new
assignment. Okay. New assignment for Steve. That's what he got from Craig during worship. Okay. Does anybody have a word for Steve? Sense anything? He said he'll take it. Come on up, Brad.
So, I don't do this.
I know you don't. You're coming out of your box. Go for it.
This is another part of prophecy, too. It's what I called a knowing, that you know. So when I said Brenna has a word for me, it's because I knew he did. And I can't really, it's hard to explain, but your spirit knows.
Yeah, so when you were, let me back up. More came to me. With Karen, I could see the cork come out of the bottle. I could see like confetti, like there's going to be a real celebration going on for you, for all of us. I don't know, but it's mostly, it was for you for sure. Then when you were saying, oh, I got to go to the other side, who am I going to look at? And then I was thinking to myself, you're going to call Deja. So he called you. There's a lot of different things that are going on in my head. But you know that shirt that you gave me? Has something to do with that. And I'm not sure if it's going to be, you're going to be reaching out to the singles, if you're going to have a singles thing. I don't really know. But it has something to do with that shirt. But I got to think about that some more. So I don't know. I'll show it to you after service. You see how red he's turning, gang? Can you see this?
Oh, my gosh. I shouldn't have asked. No, and the men sometimes with their goofy things they do say. Okay. We are a fun church. It's okay to have fun, okay? Oh, here comes Jeannie. She's going to have something. Oh, here she comes. It's for Steve. Okay.
So, he's gonna record it and date it. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's important. That's a good thing to do, really. Kind of like the blessing jar. You go back and all of a sudden you hear like a word you haven't heard in a long time, and all of a sudden it just springs up in you. It's like, yeah, it's like, mm-hmm, exactly. So God said that sometimes you see yourself as a nugget, and he sees you as a rock. And so whatever God speaks to your heart on that, okay? Ready?
Okay. Okay. And that you don't have a word for him? For Steve? For anyone? I know. Oh, here comes Brad again. Okay.
I told you one day I was going to get... I think it has something to do with your sense of humor, and you're so easy to just be around. You have such a beautiful presence about you, and there is... anybody can talk to you. You're just light. Yeah. So that, like, I'm sitting down and I'm really thinking about that. You got a great sense of humor. It's like all that. So, yeah.
Yep. Yes, we all need to be approachable, right? If we're approachable, then people wouldn't be afraid of you out there, right? But if you're standoffish, people aren't going to go near you, right? I didn't hear that.
I see Trish with a potholders holding a cookie sheet of fresh baked cookies, and she's handing them out to people. So I think of like the sweetness of the word of God, and that you're giving it out to people and they're receiving it just like someone would receive a warm cookie.
Okay. How about you, Paul? I know you're sitting on something.
I like cookies.
Do they have to be gluten-free?
No. I don't have.
No? Okay. All righty. That's for Trish. Okay.
That kind of a thing.
Okay. Okay. All right. No, I was watching over you guys doing it. I wasn't thinking. All right. Don't stare at me now. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. You guys keep thinking, if you know, ask the Holy Spirit if you got anything else. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, that, you know, celebration, and when we were talking, and I seen something happening for you. Remember when I said to you that God was going to getting ready to bless you, and it's going to be a big something. It's not going to be small. You're getting ready to be financially blessed.
It's for the church. Okay.
But I looked at you and I thought to myself, replenishing, multiplying, which is some of the first words that God says to us in the creation of the world. And that's, it's time to increase for you. Big increase.
Wow, that's huge.
This is a good one to teach it, that you don't always know who it is. So I don't know who this is, but I saw somebody's sandals and they had dust on them. And somebody did you wrong. And I felt like the dust was stuck. You know, like sometimes the sand, it gets in there and it's in there for a while. It's all over your cards and your toes. But I see the Lord wiping it off with his tears. And this isn't going to hold you back anymore. You're going to walk in forgiveness.
Okay, he doesn't know who it is. Did that speak to somebody? Okay, couple of you. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Okay. You too, Elena? Okay. Who else right there? Yeah. You too?
I'm hearing restoration. God is getting ready to restore. A lot of that was lost, what was borrowed, what was taken unlawful, what was scam out of, he's getting ready to restore. He's getting restored. And I'm sitting here, and the Holy Spirit brought something back to me. And I'm wrestling with it, and I'm saying, God, why you remind me of this after all these years? And to some, this may not seem like it's the right time, but for God to bring that up in my spirit, you know, and saying, I need you to share it. I need you to share it. And I've been holding back. In 1987, I had a miscarriage. And I was in the hospital. And as I sit here, God, if I am lying, let my tongue go down my throat. And I knew I died. I knew that. Ask me how I knew I died, because when I went out, I was lying at the arms of the Lord. His hands was like this, and I was lying across it. And he was walking on the beach, white sand, going this way. And all I was saying in my spirit, even though I'd gone, was, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And then, I don't know how long, but all I know, I came back. I felt, this is what I felt, Pastor Karen. I felt a tingling in my toes. And the tingling was coming up from my toes, my 2 feet, all my toes, and it was coming up. And I was fighting to call out to the nurses. And I couldn't call out to the nurses. And I'm fighting and I'm fighting. And then when the crawling, like ants crawling up, reach here, I was able to scream out, not knowing that the doctors had the nurses and them around there, even though it was screen around. And then I hear a nurse say, call Dr. Perkins. I heard this. And I remember that he came, and then I heard, we cannot take her to the operating room. She's not going to make it. And God was to go in there with his hand and just bring out everything and bring out everything. And I went out. And I remember when I came back and I got up the next day, and the other patients, she said, everybody run out to the ward because you were dead. And how come you back up carrying this thing? Because they had drips in me. And I went to the bathroom. It's like, you know, and I'm sitting there and say, God, why you want me to share this? This is not, you know, and he's telling me, share it. You know, share it.
I think something triggered that. Maybe it was when Steve says something about the sand, because you said you saw. I think the Lord, well, Father, I just thank you and praise you for this deliverance. And Lord, this trauma, maybe you've been carrying. And Lord, we just thank you for healing the wounding of it and the trauma of going through this. And Lord, I just thank you for that baby who's in heaven. Joshua's in heaven. And Lord, we thank you right now that your hand of protection was on Blossom in Jesus' name. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Holy Spirit could flow like that too. You know, sometimes pain, something triggered it. I think it was from what you were saying. Yeah, it's a release of your holding on to all that. You didn't even realize it. Thank you for freedom. He wants you free today of that. Yeah. That's what he does. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is all good. So we're getting healed, see? Encouraged, free, and had fun. And Trish is going to make us all cookies. She wants chocolate chip. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else have anything holding on to? Elena, you have anything? I know you sit there. You always say, I should have said, but I saw this. Yes, we've been hidden and hiding. Is he sending us out or we gotta go out?
Being sent out. We're being sent out.
Sent out. Sent out in power, right? Hallelujah. Okay. Should we end it? Yeah? I still don't have anything. I don't want to make something up. Yeah, don't make something up or feel pressured. If you don't have something, you don't have anything. Yeah. Right. Right. That's a good thing to end on. If you don't have something, don't pretend. But you can always pray for someone. That's one of my keys when I'm out shopping or whatever and I see somebody and I'll say, you know, especially if you see them hurting or walking funny or whatever, you need prayer. They usually say yes. Yeah, and then as you pray, you might see something, you know. Right, you don't have to. Just your countenance, your light, just even saying thank you, you know, to somebody and being grateful. I think of waitresses all the time, how hard their jobs are and, you know, we always have opportunities to pray for them, right? And bless them. Okay. Well, Father, this is been really good. Lord, I thank you and praise you for the teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for unwrapping the gifts. And Lord, as the weeks go on, Lord, that we'll get more and more revelation of what you're speaking to us about, who we are, finding out who we are, and all the gifts that are inside of us. And we thank you, Lord, as we use them, they'll grow. So, Lord, we thank you that we'll be good stewards of what you give us, Lord, and that's with anything. So, Father, we're grateful. We're thankful. We thank you for healings today. We thank you for the encouragement today. And, Lord, as we came in, a lot of us kind of felt yucky, but you change it around. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.